Good day, ladies and gents. Welcome to the Fairway Fit Golf Podcast, where two friends get together to talk about how we are trying to look good, feel good, and play good. Let's go. Joining me, Greg. Welcome back. How we doing? Been about probably a little over a week. I like to say things have been going well. Tell me how you've been doing.
I like to see you in the Kelly Green, you know, carrying that St. Patty's Day spirit all the way through Thursday.
I have worn it for four straight days.
Nice. Solid. I didn't even know you were Irish. Is Bodder
just
Irish?
Just threw it on. You are pretty in pink. Obviously, for those who could check us out on YouTube,
it's Dusty please do. Peach. Dusty peach is the color.
All right.
Looks much better.
Fading in and out. You see my video keeps fading in and out. Something we got to work on. But all right. But yeah, we are on YouTube. Make sure to check us out. Like and subscribe. Do all those good things. But good to be back. The start of episode two here on season two. And we got a lot to talk about. If you listened to last week's episode, we talked a lot about our plan on how to achieve our new goals. We're also going to talk about the first annual Fairway Fit Cup.
Let's go.
My guess is that by the time this episode is posted and out, we will probably be traveling down to our first trip of the season. And we got a couple things, a couple readings, a couple range sessions to talk about. So, you know, let's go ahead and start with you, man. What have you been up to?
I've gotten technically two range sessions in the last couple of days. Really, one was a sim. Got some range work there and then played a course up in Jersey that had a lot of water on it to try and prepare for our trip.
Wait a second. You play and on the sim, you played the course in New Jersey?
Yeah.
Okay. I was like, did you go on a trip and you didn't tell me?
Yeah,
okay. So
I snuck out.
You got to fill me in on this sim because Billy's been talking about this place. Fill me in. What's it all about?
I mean, I would say it's your poor man's X golf. It's your poor man's five iron. It's your poor man's like, and I don't mean that in a bad way, but right. I mean, it's not all the glitz and glam. It's just straight. I want to put in work and I can't afford a sim at my house. So basically it's like, it's almost like, it's like a warehouse center basically that you go in and you log on to TrackMan and he's got two bays there. To hit in and you schedule a time to go in with your membership and basically you can, I mean, we were there for maybe 3 hours.
Okay.
And I only saw one other person there.
Is it just bays or is there like a putting green?
There's two hitting bays and then there is a putting area as well.
Like describe the putting area. Cause I'm thinking TGL.
No, I'm thinking you're thinking basically way overboard here. Think of a glorified putting mat that is
Dick's Sporting Goods.
Yes.
Okay.
I know without all the putters that you can try though.
I kind of like the putters idea. Okay, pretty big putting green or just any undulation?
No.
Flat.
Yes.
Was it fast?
I did not even touch a putter.
Didn't even touch the putting green. All right. And it was the TrackMan?
Yeah.
Okay. I mean, it's got
stuff that you can hook your phone up to film yourself and basically have like, you know.
Like cameras or something?
No, like it just like basically tripods that you can log into TrackMan film and basically record your session if you want to. I mean, he definitely did it right. I mean, he's got a little lounge area. He's got a TV and cooler and stuff like that. No beer. It's just water. But
are you allowed to bring
that? I didn't know that. So I just showed up with just water.
That's odd for you on the golf course.
And I think that's probably why I played so bad. I mean, I hit the ball rather decently, but for some reason, after my first drive was like pretty, I bombed it. It was like 300. And then it was 300 exactly. And Billy can attest to that one. And then the remainder of the round,
it was windated.
far back when, you know, the back when was at least 23
downhill.
But I mean, the rest of the day I was skying drives. I don't understand why. I was hitting it dead straight into the screen, and it looked like great ball flight, but I was maxing out at like 225, 230 and just skying balls with the remainder of this.
Now, TrackMan gives you a ton of numbers. Were you able to look at the numbers? Did you look at the numbers at all?
I started looking at the numbers, and then I basically had to go to Grandma and Grandpa's house.
Gotcha. All right. So one thing we need to try to do, I think it might be worth us heading that direction and doing some video work over there. You know, like I said, we're up on YouTube now. It might be worth getting some reels going over there on the sim.
That's not a bad idea.
So we'll have to get Billy involved, obviously.
It's cheaper. I will say that. It was $20 for me to be a guest there rather than paying like, you go to X Golf or Five Iron, you're paying $80 an hour.
Yeah, and like even Dulles driving range, which is, I thought it was going out of business, but it seems to be still in business. But it's $20 for a large bucket. So, I mean, you got $20 to hit balls in the range, and you can go ahead and also play probably different courses. So, all right. So Greg is talking to a little special guest that's trying to get on air, but
we do have a little guest here. So
yeah, but we'll keep her off here. Not a problem there. But so as you're doing that, fill me in a little bit on the golf course in New Jersey. Where'd you play? Cause TrackMan's got like 30,000 courses. So.
It was either Liberty National or Liberty Golf.
So Liberty
Club.
National is that? Where did you say you went? New Jersey?
New Jersey.
So that's like New York, New Jersey, though, like right up.
Oh,
right,
I mean, when we first hole, I could see the Statue of Liberty.
Yeah, I want to say LPGA plays a tournament there. I think our friends at No Laying Up, who also podcast people, they put who's the one in New York? They played some tournaments there. Supposed to be a really nice golf course. Really nice. Is it a Trump course?
Not sure. Didn't do much research on it. Either. I just, Billy picked it and I said, all right, let's play. We played the tips and it was a solid course. It was a solid course. I mean, you know, I put myself in a lot more trouble than I needed to.
But it wasn't a good day?
It wasn't.
I mean, it was your first time hitting actual golf balls.
No, because I mean, I had gone to X Golf and stuff like that. Gotcha. So I'd hit Sims. So, you know, I've hit golf balls.
You're right.
It was totally different than last time. I mean, my yardages were back to normal on this than the 217 7 iron that I was hitting at X Golf.
Maybe that one was downwind.
Yeah, might have been.
I have heard simulators are trying to start incorporating like balls out of the rough. I always relate it back to like Tiger Woods golf, you know, when you had like 80% shot going out of the rough or the bunker. I've heard they're trying to work on those. I'm assuming probably the higher end ones do. And my brother has Skytrack, and that's the one that I think he's been trying to work on.
I mean, it would have the little number of like 75 to 90% power.
Gotcha.
Like underneath the club selection that you would have. So you could basically change it amongst that. Okay. But I mean, at the same time, it's a sim. It's not as, I wanted to see myself in real life. And now I instantly regretted that decision after today. So
see, it's weird about sims is like a lot of people want to go there and play golf courses. I kind of want to go in there and hit 59 irons into a target and look at my stats and my variation, my spread.
And that's exactly how this one was set up is like when I was warming up, I could basically say I'm hitting a 9 iron. They'd be like,
right,
goal target. They'd be like, what's your target goal?
And you could pick like green size. I think you can pick like small, medium, large greens.
Yeah. And like you just set the yardage there and then you're trying to hit to that target. And then it would give you like, okay, you hit 15 to 20. Like nine irons, you hit the target, target yardage and inside of that target, like, you know, however many times.
Right. That, I feel like that's what you can get more out of.
And TrackMan's pretty cool because I can actually log back in and view my entire range session.
Did you look at that text I sent you before you went that had all the spin ratios?
I looked at it afterwards and my spin rate is way off.
Like high?
Yeah.
Wow. That's a Larry meeting.
Yeah, I mean, I'm definitely going to need to get to him here soon for not only the, you know, the final three wood fitting, but that I've been putting off for years, but definitely to try and change some stuff up.
Yeah, I can
change my irons anyways because they're not forged. But I mean, at least I don't know, maybe change shafts out or something like that. I don't know what is going on right now.
Well, it's you've hit two times, three times. I mean, it's hard to say right now where you've been. I remember we talked about 2,500 ball strikes.
Yeah,
where do you think you are? 400.
I wouldn't even call today. Today I might have gotten 8 ball strikes.
Not good ball strikes. Not good ball strikes. As many as you can. So, all right. Yeah, I was able to get out to our guy Larry last week. And I don't think we talked about this on episode one, but
we
I was able
not.
To get out to Larry. And I think it was right after that we recorded. And I was able to add another secret weapon. I guess it's not really secret if I'm talking about, but another weapon to the bag. I was able to get a 3-wood with the GT2 from Titleist. I don't know if I can get away from Titleist. I'll be honest with you. It just feels so good when it like just touches your lips and it just, you know, I don't know why. Like he asked me if I had a preference and I said, no, I really am looking for something that is going to give me
how many different clubs did you hit?
I think we hit 6 or 7 different brands.
Oh, wow.
And it wasn't even just brands. Like I hit 2 different Callaways, 2 different TaylorMades. And then like,
cause did you
like,
hit the I guess QI?
The QI 35, like one is they have different models in the QI 35. So I hit 2 of those. As much as I actually to the eye, I really, really like the QI 35. I mean, it was a very, very good looking club. It just never came off the face the same way that the Titleist did. And it was like, once I hit the Titleist, it was like everything was comparing to that club. And I think I waited and hit Titleist last. So, I mean, I'm already, let's just say 35 to 53.
You're already leaning that direction regardless.
I really wasn't. I mean, my driver's TaylorMade, so I didn't really have any sort of problems if I had to go TaylorMade. And I just, when I hit it, man, I mean, I've heard nothing but good things about it, and it lived up to its name. I mean, I really liked it. The GT2, opposed to like the GT3, and I believe there's a GT4. Is a very low spin 3-wood. So for higher swing speed, low spin. So I think my numbers were right on, and I was right in that range. I think the scale.
PGA Tour range or?
I think it was, it said PGA Tour range. I'll take either right now. I mean, obviously I had to hit it. I mean, and then we did turn it in a little bit because I want to try to play more of a fade with the driver. And Larry and I talked about setting that up, which we did, and then we set up the 3-wood for more of the draw. So,
So we're working the ball both ways now.
Well, it's not necessarily, and I told him, it's not that I want to like have big swingers or like it's going to turn like 30, 40 yards. Yeah, I did. But I want to be able to pick out target lines. So the one target line obviously will be middle to right side of the fairway opposed to my driver, which I am basically down the left side looking to work back. So, I mean, I can't complain. You know, we're going to talk about our big trip here in a few moments, but hopefully it is ready. I know it's been ordered. I'm just waiting for his message to go by.
Is there express shipping on that?
I don't think I did express because I had 2 weeks. I'm assuming I'll get something probably tomorrow from him. It's going to kind of depend on when he was able to get it ordered, because we did it.
Now, are you going to have a little session with him just to dial it in?
I mean, I probably would hit a couple. I don't know. It really is just going to be on time. I mean, I got a lot going on.
You got basketball games.
I picked up a third team I'm coaching this spring. So
good Lord.
Yeah. So it's been a little bit more, more occupied, but it's fine. If I have time, I'll definitely be able to do it. So, but it sounds like we're starting to get out. The weather is breaking. I know it was beautiful today.
Oh, it was gorgeous this morning. It was like, if we could pipe in music, I would say like, it was like, I walked to the range this morning to like the Masters music, or maybe at least the Waterbury Open music. And
Waterbury Open, the only tournament that puts you straight to the PGA Tour.
It was great. And tell you the truth, I was warming up amongst, you know, some of the greatest athletes in the world, it seemed like. And was like, all right, I can get my range session in before work. Had a great feeling about the day. And then I proceeded to let's play this game. What club do you think I started with?
What club did you start with? You started with, hopefully it was.
No. Not hopefully. What do you think?
Utility wedge. Gap wedge.
No. Close though. Close. I started with 58 degree.
And so I usually start with a wedge, but it's more of my pitching wedge.
That's
because
it's
a little more forgiving than obviously my Vokies, my SM9s. So it's usually a little bit more forgiving. And then you're only hitting like 50% shots to warm up. So I never wanted to take that out. But I'm not going to sit here and say I've never done it. I had probably taken driver out for
I was a little bit stiff this morning, because most of the time when I play or when I practice, I've already done my workout for the day and lifted myself up. But, you know, morning, just rise and grind. But started with the 58 and figured same thing, 50% swings. Let's go ahead and just kind of loosen up before I start trying to go full swings with my pitching wedge. And then you kind of work up a little bit in the bag. I already had a plan of I was not going to hit driver today. And birds were chirping. It was gorgeous out. I had just long sleeves and a pair of shorts on. There was guys getting ready to go out. I was jealous. People were striping on the range. And I proceeded to, out of the 75 balls that I hit probably 66 chili dippers up Lee Jansen's butthole.
Oh my gosh.
I shanked it so many times off the hosel that I literally, luckily nobody could hear what I was saying to myself in my head, but couldn't figure it out. I don't know what was going on. I don't know if I was just kind of being a little baby with being a little stiff and not getting through the ball or what I was doing. But technically today I kind of forgot how to swing a golf club and was just hosel rocketing everything. And it was,
so this is your first true ball flight.
Exactly. Ball flight. So I was excited. So I was excited to go there, 'cause I've actually been having great contact in the Sims, like where I'm just hitting into a screen. But at the same time, like, I was like, I would need to see this in real life. Like I want to be outside and see the ball flight and see how it plays and everything like that. And man, this was a real kick to the groin this morning. I hit probably a total out of that 75, probably 8 shots that were, I was like, okay, that went straight. Like, what did I do there? Why did that, like, why doesn't that feel like normal right now? I can just imagine every single guy on the range being like, I hope that guy is not paired with me today.
Well, this is actually not a bad lead up to what we were going to talk about first. I mean, last episode we talked about goals. We talked about getting our goals kind of back from last year, because what we finished with, I know your goal, and we'll just keep staying with you because you're kind of giving us the spiel of what happened this morning. But we talked about your goals, obviously getting back down to a single digit. I think you need about 4 or 5 shots taken off your handicap, and then obviously trying to put around in the 70s. And I think that all that's going to happen simultaneously for you. I mean, you put up a 77, 78. It's going to drop you a tremendous amount. So especially if you put 2, holy cow. I mean, you'll be right where you want on both ends there. But, we talked about putting together a plan.
I'm gonna drop a bunch, even if I throw back-to-back rounds in like 81.
Yeah. I mean, you'll be, it's going to be easier for you to get to that 9. It's just that hungry, how low you want to take that single digit. But we talked about we were going to come to today's episode with a plan. All right. Now, you were able to get to the range in the morning. You have a little bit more time in the morning than I do. My commute's a little longer. And then I actually try to get most of my working out done beforehand, where you have basically to where I start teaching about 1.5 hours before you every day. So you have that window where you try to get your workouts in and then scatter. Obviously, we both scatter stuff throughout the day, but what's your plan? What do you detailed, non-detailed? Hopefully it's a little detailed, because I think we have to take you to the next level. I mean, we have to start thinking of ourselves not as people that try to be good at golf, but be good golfers. I mean, take what we can do and get to that next level. So fill us in. You had a rough day today, but you were able to get out at least twice in the last 4 days. I mean, that's pretty good. I mean, if you can keep that up. But what is the plan for Greg this year to hit our goals?
Well, definitely like through the remainder of the school year will be morning practice sessions, because afternoons are just super busy with kids stuff. But basically morning range sessions, the course opens up at 7:30 now, which is right after I can drop my youngest off at daycare. So I'm going to try and squeeze in probably at least 3 range sessions in the mornings of the week. Obviously there's other things, meetings with school and everything like that, that play into that. But at the same time, at least 3 sessions a week, moving forward, continue with like everything that I'm doing in the gym. I talked about it in episode 1 that I started a mobility program, trying to basically just get more mobile and basically feel better and stronger and more range of motion when it comes to it, rather than being stiff and stagnant when I'm swinging.
I know you met with a couple people. Are virtually, probably didn't meet in person, but yes, virtually. Yes, do you feel like that mobility, the newer stuff is, I mean, are you feeling anything yet?
I mean, I've been doing it for about 1.5 weeks now, and a lot of it is like end range stretching and building strength on top of it. Because I mean, a lot of it is not just like static stretching. It's basically moving your ball, your body out of alignment, if that makes sense to anybody. But basically when you think about most movements, you don't do things like you do in a weight room. Weight rooms are basically very much so form related, and you stick in that form. This is more so moving through your body's range of motions when you're like out of alignment, and basically kind of like, you know, opening up your hips and basically strengthening them at an end range. So almost having like an isometric hold at a end range of a stretch, and kind of moving through those movements, and, you know, obviously progressing towards doing them unassisted. Like some of the stuff that this person does makes me baffled, where they're just like, all right, like this is a stretch. And I look at them right away and I'm like, can't do that.
Now, are you following them like on a video?
Yep. Yep, like, they have like a video, like break video breakdown there of like the entire thing.
Is it timed?
Like, it is. So it's
like do they move? When I say time, not like the video like 20 minutes, but do they move you along through your time? Like kind of like not like a HIIT workout, but like you're stretching for a certain amount of time, and then
no, basically the workout's planned out for you, but then in the workout, basically they have a video that will run continuously. But basically what I'll do is like I'll watch the stretch, make sure I'm doing it correctly. Obviously now after 7 days, a lot of the stuff that they do, I've already known, but then if there's something on the workout that I don't know, I can jump right to that portion of the video and see it demonstrated and see how you can basically regress or progress it. And you know, it's definitely like, I mean, there's days after I do the mobility work that I'm sore from it.
Okay.
Like, so, I mean, it's good. And, you know, I think it's a great kind of complement to like my end range training that I'm doing in the weight room. Still running every day and, you know, got my time down to a 624. I still push it out on the track. But at the same time, like definitely, I think right now what I'm trying to do is basically just swing my swing. I'm not trying to change anything right now. I'm not trying to look perfect. I'm not trying to get into a certain slot or a certain form or have it look great on camera. I'm looking more results based. So how the ball flight is it repetitive?
It's more, so I don't know. I get what you're saying, results, but I think it's more feel based. I mean, you're not trying to.
Is it repeatable?
Yeah. You're not trying to, you know, change your swing or obviously you'll work with it as it goes. If you feel like you're going left, you'll make sure you get your hips, you know, and all that good stuff. But it's more or less getting consistent of what you got to square the club face up and hit golf shots,
mm-hmm.
just hit golf balls. You know, when I coached golf, that was something I always talked about with golfers is in the off season, you're working on golf swing, right? Mechanics. I mean, obviously you're tinkering stuff just like a hitter does in baseball, but in a range session where we're getting ready, we're hitting golf shots, not golf swings. You know, we want to take golf shots. So you're more in the golf swings method right now, not changing things, but just trying to find what gets you comfortable and it moves you forward. So, so one thing we talked about too, and the plan sounds great. I like where you're going. I love hearing the consistency of what's going on. All right. But here's my challenge to you. And it's something we talked about is I want to bring something that's going to challenge you. And I know in the last one, I joked about telling you to do aim point, but that's more of a comical one than anything, but here's my challenge to you. When Greg walks into the weight room, Greg has a plan. Okay. He has a plan written. If it's not written down, it's written in his head. He knows exactly what first exercise is, the second, and moves on forward. I know you well enough that you do not walk into the weight room and say, what am I going to do today? You may have those days where you float around, but for the most part, your floating is, all right, it's a back day or it's a pull day. What are my pull exercises I'm going to be? You have a template, a plan in place. What I want from Greg, I want you to write down or put into a Google Doc or put on a Google Calendar. I want you to put down every Sunday when you do your meal prep, you do your golf prep and you stick to your golf prep.
I also would love
to see, and I would love for you to share it because I don't think it's something I think it is something we can talk about on here. If you can, you know the weight room so well, you reflect on your workouts afterwards. I still think Greg, the golfer, is trying to be a golfer. I love to see you put down a reflection piece, almost like you're journaling after your practice sessions. What went well? What felt good? What are you confused about? And I always tell,
that'd be a long entry after this morning.
But you know what I mean? I always tell my kids, it's not what we did wrong. What are you confused about to get better, right?
Yeah.
You know, we're all going to make mistakes. And golf is a game of who has the best bad shots because everybody has good shots. When I hit a wedge to 5 feet, I look, maybe the ball off the club looks just like a PGA Tour player for that one shot. The difference is that they're doing it 18 out of 20 times or 9 out of 10 times where I'm doing it 10 out of 20 times, you know, obviously the consistency factor, but
right.
I know Greg goes into the weight room with a plan. I want Greg to go into practice, golf practice with a plan. And I'm going to share with you a book that I've been reading. I can't say I've done a tremendous job with it, but it's a book that Marine, it talks about some drills on how to practice. And when we start getting into my plan, I'm starting to try to use use that as well too. So it talks about driver drills, wedge drills, iron drills. It talks about just not hitting driver for 2 hours. But there are times where you want to hit driver for 60 to 70 shots because you want to feel the fatigue, and that helps increase swing speed. So I think the journal part of the exercises, or the journal part of the practice sessions, might be the extreme part of my challenge to you, which you've never really shied away from anything extreme. So I'm going to throw it out there. But I do think when you sit down and do your meal prep, just like I do, I have a Google Calendar. I have on there Brad range session, Brad 9 holes, 18 holes, and go from there. I think if you do that, because if you look back at last year, when you started practicing, your handicap actually went up at the exact same time. Now, I think it went up for what happened prior to your practicing. Your practicing caught you to a spot where you started to feel better on the golf course, and you dropped very quickly.
Yeah.
And you were a 10 handicap playing with 17 strokes opposed to, you know, what you were actually a 17 handicap at, because I think the practice sessions helped you benefit from it, and that helped you drop that handicap.
Yeah.
And when things got busy, you obviously we have lives. We're never going to get away from that. We never want to get away from that. But when those lives got in the way, you shied, or you kind of faded towards the fitness, making sure to get your workouts in. And I wanted you to challenge it. Let's put golf just as important, because I don't think it'll ever be the same for you. I don't think you can put golf before all that stuff.
I don't think so either.
I don't, and I'm not asking you to, but maybe you limit one and make sure we're still hitting that distraction, that part. And I think if you do that by summer, you'll be a single digit handicap.
That's
I really do.
That would be nice.
I mean, we're talking what, 4 months, 3.5 months, give or take.
Yep.
I guess it's actually technically, I think it's 3 months if you look by the dates and
you're
everything.
But you're just trying to bait me so that it's closer on our majors. You're not getting as many strokes.
I think that yes and no. I mean, I would love to see where we're playing straight up and how golf's supposed to be, but that's not what I'm not. It's not really a bait because again, I'm your biggest fan. I want you to get there, hopefully just as much as you would like to see me get to mine as well too. But I just know you don't go into the weight room that way, and I don't think you should go into a practice that way. And if it's on your phone, written down on paper, I mean, hold yourself accountable to what you're going to do. And you know what? 1 week, hey man, I'm busy this week. I got 2 sessions, or I got 1 session. Hey, it's not a big deal. I can hit putts in the garage. Mm-hmm. That's always something. I mean, ball striking and try to count your ball strikes to some degree, so you can see what gets me the best. Is it 500 ball strikes a week? Is it 300 ball strikes a week?
Well, that's just like, I mean, I don't hit ball strikes, but with the strike pad and the click stick, I can at least train release point and club path.
I'm intrigued with the click stick is because I know you've done that a lot.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, I don't know for a fact, but I believe you've done that a lot. And I wonder if it's not messed with you, but it's kind of put you in a situation where you got to do both. You got to hit balls and do click stick to truly get a bit.
And I think that's probably true because, you know, just focusing on release point and not hitting a ball and just checking your club path that your divot's starting after the ball and what path am I inside out or am I outside in?
And it's as important as that is, I think you have to have the balance of everything. So, you know, I thought about going in to do the, you know, the 100 hours, it's 18 minutes a day. I want to do 18 minutes a day of golf, which I know we're both so busy. Sometimes that's going to be unrealistic. So I think if you can sit down and put down a plan and hold yourself accountable, feel free. If you want to share, I mean, you share me your workouts pretty much every day to daily. Why not? Let's start sharing the golf piece as well too. Because I think if you do it, what's going to happen for me? I'm going to do it the exact same or try to do something as well. So
you'll do it better though.
Huh?
You'll do it better though.
Not better is relative to who's doing it. I don't think it's better or worse. I think it's, I definitely think it's, this is going to get you to where I think you'd be. And so that's my challenge. That's kind of where I am.
I like it. I accept.
Yeah. There we go. I like it. So flip things around. To me, my plan is going to sound very similar to what my challenge is to you. I am also writing down a weekly plan. I think mine is actually going to be looking for a number of ball strikes per week. And the reason I'm looking on focusing on a number is because I don't think I take advantage of stuff at home or even taking stuff to the workplace like putting. And that is a big goal of mine. And I have a golfer at work that one of my students, and he's on the golf team, and he's got some pretty high hopes of being a good player. And we talk a lot of golf. And I told him, a big focus of mine is 30 yards and in. And I know everyone talks about 100 yards and in. And I'm like, yeah, 100 yards, that's great. 100 yards. But in all honesty, I need to be better 30 yards and in. I think I was so worried last year about the numbers and what I was shooting and stressing out about what the actual score was. I stopped myself practicing in with a purpose where I was practicing to go play golf. It wasn't incorporating one skill. And so what I have tried to do and I've started this week was put down a weekly goals of what I'm trying to get done per day. And, you know, Monday our golf course is closed. The one I go to is closed, but it's also a very easy day to go putt. You know, the putting green never
closed. So the range is closed and everything?
The range is closed. The course is closed, but you could play. You just no carts, no nothing. Like you would have to walk.
You love walking anyways.
I do. But it's perfect for me to go up there and say, that's my putting day.
Yeah.
You know, or what I'm trying to do is collect golf balls that I try to play mostly. I mean, I don't always play the same brand, but then have my own shag bag because I do believe, for me, I'm at a level where it's going to be very hard to get to my numbers. So I want to chip with my golf balls. You know,
yeah.
Chipping with a range ball is fine. It's great on mechanics.
You're not going to get the spin, though.
I'm not going to get the feels around the green that I want. So I've been trying to work on collecting a bag that I can carry and drop and then pick when I'm done with that. So I'm coming up with, and I'm still trying to figure out, like I told you.
Have you finalized the ball yet?
It's going to be an X. I just don't think I have the money to finalize one brand. I mean, if I find a TaylorMade TP5X, I'm going to play a TaylorMade TP5X until I lose it. I will tell you.
Are you a left dash guy?
No, that takes too much spin off. It's more of an X.
I'm actually looking. I'm gonna go to our boy who has now sold his business to a neighbor of his, which is a 14-year-old golfer that is actually really good.
Where are you going with this? Our boy Larry?
he's the club champion at a area course at 14 years old. And you probably know of him. But I might go get some left dash ones and see if I can take some spinniness off of me.
I would say if I was feeling same as you, that you felt like everything's spinning off the club, I would probably play left dash for a while and until you felt comfortable and then work your way back to the X.
I think my purchase this weekend when I go out and meet this new group of gentlemen, the dad and the son that are running the business because the other guy sold it. I think I'm going to basically, I'll probably get some X's still just because that's what I'm so used to playing.
Right.
But I think I'm going to get a majority left dash and just try them out.
Yeah. I mean, when you go, let me know because I will put in probably a smaller order. I did go to Little League Day at Dick's Sporting Goods and bought some golf stuff. So it's actually off your whole purchase, 20% off your whole purchase. So it's,
when
it's
was that? Why?
You have to buy this. You get a code for having a kid in Little League and softball. So
And you couldn't just say, hey, what do you want? And I would have Venmo'd you.
Yeah, it was an expensive day. the wife went shopping, new pair of shoes. Yeah, anyway, so
20% off, basically free.
Yeah, it's true. But that's my plan. I don't have the ball number I'm looking for because I still think I'm trying to get to that 2,500 ball strikes until I feel starting to feel really good on the golf course. So it's going to be. So in reality, if you are looking in that direction, we might be doing something very similar in that. So just putting a plan. Like, I mean, I coach 4 nights a week right now. And so, but with one sports coaching basketball, it's later in the evening. So like even yesterday we had basketball practice, but I had a really, really good range session for an hour and a half. And I chipped probably for 40 minutes of it. And weirdly enough, 20 to 25 minutes of it was from one spot. Now we have two flags on our chipping green and I was going majority to one flag. And then I did end up switching, but just that little bit got me into a really good place. And so, and I'll talk about that in a few here, but that's kind of where I am in my plan. I mean, my last part of the plan is to play more games in my round, meaning challenge myself more from the red tees, put myself in more competitive golf, but not necessarily for the number. Like, I don't want my only competition is to shoot 72. I want to play fun rounds of golf that keep my heart rate going and put myself in a place. And I don't want to call it money rounds, but maybe it's playing money rounds, maybe playing stuff from the red tees, maybe playing two mans like we talked about in our first episode with some of the goals we have, you know, playing different people, challenging them in there and there. So just playing more.
I will say those type things come a lot easier when you are a member.
They do. And so.
Because those are things that like I don't have the luxury of being able to do. It's tough for me to go out and just kind of mess around, if you will. And it's not messing around. That's just the usage that I did. But basically, like if I'm going out, to put up a number in my handicap. Like I'm not trying
not to
just,
be not to sound you know selfish on my part. I've never had that. So last year.
Oh, yeah, I know. I'm jealous. I would love to go out there.
Telling myself, today's the day, today's the day, because I didn't know when tomorrow was going to be. But now, I mean, tomorrow could actually be tomorrow for me. And it, you don't have, yeah, and 100%, I completely agree. And as we have said from episode 1 and 2 of season 1, the cot in the basement is there.
Sure.
Come on out. We can help. You've got 3 babysitters here. We can make this happen.
I had a long conversation with Elise when I was laying in bed with her before she was going to bed. Obviously she didn't. but like she was actually talking about moving and she was actually worried that me and mom were gonna move and she was just gonna be her and Brody were gonna be staying here because she wants to stay in this house. And I was like, we're not moving anytime soon, baby girl.
We had that talk with ours as well too when moving has come up. Who knows what goes through their heads.
Yeah.
So then but all right, so lay it on me, you know, not gonna hurt my feelings.
My biggest thing is once again, like, you know, you hit the nail on the head. I'm a big fitness person and I do know that like when you jump into fitness, you are a very big runner and you love running. You love how that makes you feel. I think you get the runner's high and I don't think I've ever had that in my life, even though I've ran every day, and whatnot. I'm still not a huge fan of running. I think that basically, not only for your golf game, but for your overall fitness level. I think if you can really focus on maybe dialing back on the mileage and increasing more resistance training and core focused rotational ability type stuff, I think that type stuff would actually, that might be the thing that jumps you from the three to the zero, right? Three to scratch is just that ability to basically move your body. Like you're in good shape. You're in good shape to the point where you're running great and you're getting your mileage in. I mean, you crush me in mileage every single week. But I think that like one of the things that you could actually gain some club head speed, gain some rotational ability. And obviously that would take adjustments in your swing too. Once you get a little bit, you know, stronger and, you know, you're activating muscles a little bit more. You'll get longer off the tee. You'll get longer off your irons. Obviously, that will take an adjustment. But you love the range, so you can dial that in. I think that doing more resistance training might be actually beneficial for you. You see all these guys now. You go to a PGA tournament, and there is a huge weight room at every single event. There's trainers out there that say that every single day that these guys play, they're doing some type of pre-muscle activation or muscle activation in order to, like, lifting wise resistance training in order to make themselves better. I'm not saying Tiger Woods style where you're doing a seal workout and everything like that, but I think like you need to dial in more so on resistance training in order to not only see some of the results, like just like aesthetically that you want to see. And I know that your goals are that too. But I think that would actually like help you in the long run on your golf swing too.
Yeah. I mean, I have done strength training and ran every single day since we've been back to work in August.
Mm-hmm.
I don't disagree that I need to figure out what's better and not, I don't want to say more, but I don't want to say less. I need to have a better focus. I do get stuck in sometimes the same routines, but for the mileage. But I will say a lot of my running is because I did go through a little mental phase where I put some of my weight back on and I have no idea how.
Mm.
And, you know, I've had recommendations to go check my thyroid and do different things, but I'm pretty stubborn when it comes to going to the doctor. So, but no, I have
that one.
And I do follow, like I'm on a new, used AI and I found a workout and I think I'm on week. When do we leave next week? I would say, I think I'm on week four. Cause I think it was a 6 week plan and I started 5 days cause I ended up having to travel that 1 week. But, I have a lot of those things you're saying, but I definitely could get better in that. My only counter, and I'm not disagreeing with you, would be is I want to get to a certain weight first.
But you do know that muscle burns more fat.
I know.
Running burns calories, but you know, you strength train, you build lean muscle mass, and that helps you burn fat.
I mean, today I'm sitting at, I have over 30,000 steps, and it's telling me that I burnt 4,000 plus calories.
Dang.
On my own. And I did. I ran 6.5 miles this morning. I hit my, today was my active day. So it's a little bit of mobility. And I do some beach workout. I mean, I'll be lying to you if, you know, you got to hit those buys, tries and flies, right? We're still, you know, still want to look good. So this is more of my, I do some more mobility. I hit a couple of those today. Tomorrow's my explosive day where it's jumps and some RDL type things and different box jumps and more explosive workouts. So I do have it. I wouldn't disagree. And it is something I'm trying to get better on. I get really stale at times and like I feel it in my hips and that's probably my signal that I know I need to do more mobility. And for example, I wake up, I go on a 40-minute car ride, and when I my first step out of the car, it's like, ooh,
oh yeah,
it's gonna be rough. It's gonna be a rough workout today.
That'll get you every day.
It's gonna be a rough workout today. And so I know, and if I told you I stretch before I run, I'd be lying.
Oh, I lift before I run. That's my warm up.
So But I have increased my mileage. So when we talk about increasing mileage, I've only really increased mileage since probably early February. And that's where it's really happened.
And how many miles are you running a week now on average?
I'm 25 to 30 miles a week.
You tripled me basically. I'm usually about 11.
Yeah, but I'm also 150% your body weight.
No.
Yeah. I'm every bit of 225, and you're okay. 107 or 8 pounds. Mm. I mean, rest of it.
158, yeah. But close.
Yeah.
But who's counting?
Yeah.
I had a check in randomly the other day. Yeah. But and even that number shocked me, like we talked about the other day. But no, I mean, I agree. Like you work your butt off. You work your butt off and just like you said, like you got kind of baffled by how you put on weight a little bit. And you know, the way you got the weight off earlier was running as much as you can. So I can understand why you jumped right back into that. But I think like some of the
I tried not to increase so fast, but I did.
If you're feeling good, you're feeling good though.
Yeah. And again, I mean, like I said, I ran today and I still feel good at the end of the day.
And John Daly still swings the hell out of the club. So,
yeah. But yeah, I'm going to try to add that stuff to my plan. And maybe with your,
I will say next week on the trip, I'm not going to really do lifts in the morning, but I'm planning on just little mile run warm up.
Yeah.
And then I want you to kind of go through the mobility things that where I'm doing with me. Cause it's definitely like it's eye opening where like this chick, she's Aussie, by the way, she's Australian. So like, it's easy to listen to when you're doing it. And you know, I like accents. Sorry. That's my thing. But basically like some of the stuff she'll be like, oh, okay. Like, you're doing this exercise and you're just going to like roll that knee down for internal stretch and then roll it back out. And like, she's doing full range of motion and I'm already looking at it like, there's no chance I can do that unsupported. And then like, she dives into like the regression and progression portion of it. But like, basically some of the stuff, like she does full range of motion. I'm like, oh my gosh. And then the dude, whenever he comes on, like he's doing it. And I'm like, how? But obviously I'm day 7 and they're probably day 700, but
at least. Yeah. And I don't disagree. I mean, I'll accept that just like you accepted mine. I mean, I just come back to it. I know our challenge in September is as much mental as it is physical, but I'm leaps and bounds size wise behind you.
Yes. Yes.
And my body,
you're going to be carrying.
I don't know if my body can just mentally toughen it out without shutting down like yours. You could probably get through more. I mean, just being honest with myself. And I can. And in the last 5 weeks, I have picked my mileage up. I see tremendous results. I mean, I really do. And I need to get, I have a number in my head. And I know in the golf side, I'm trying to not to worry about numbers, but I do have a number in my head. And I feel like if I can get there, I just think I can do so much more in the weight room and not have to stress about time and making sure that I'm on my feet running. And again, I read all those articles about walking at the incline actually burns more fat. Mm-hmm. But when I do the numbers and I look at, you know, and I know well, my watch isn't perfect, but when I work at my watch and I'm burning 3 times as many calories running, why would I not run? When I guess I know I'm burning different calories, put it that way. But
I always laugh because Whoop always has me at low calorie burns every day.
Really?
Like my
run today said I burnt 1,100 calories.
Yeah. See, like me, like, and now granted, like obviously, like I have to input like my weight and my height and everything like that.
Yeah.
But I mean, like my caloric intake or caloric burn throughout days, mostly like I top out like sub 3,000, even when I'm at like a 17 strain on the Whoop and whatnot. So, I mean, I always, I don't really worry about the calories burned. I more so focus on like the four key points that I have is like strain, how many steps I took. And then like, obviously like my, I track now like my zone 4 and 5 heart rate for the week, my zone 2 and 3. And I do
a lot of my running in zone 2 and 3. So, I mean, that is obviously better than straining the 4, and I never really get the 5. I do incorporate sprinting, but that's completely different workouts. I don't know. I agree with you. I need to figure it out, but I told myself I wanted to keep this mileage up until next week on our trip, and then it's time to switch workouts anyway. I sometimes get stuck on week 5 and 6 and say, well, I'll just switch next week. And then holy crap, it's 4 or 5 weeks later and I haven't switched. I know the value and importance of that. I mean, I tell my kids that I teach all the time, but sometimes I don't even listen to my own advice. So, I think we have two good challenges. I mean, I definitely think if we could adopt both, each one ourselves, we're going to get better.
We're going to look good, feel good, and play good.
We're going to look good, feel good, and play good. And that is extremely important. And, hopefully we're still working on the apparel part, but as people know, it's something we've been trying to really work on for quite some time now. We're closer than we've ever been, but we're going to get there. But as we move on and I'm looking at the clock, we got to get going to our next segment, and we're going to talk about our first annual Fairway Fit trip, which is, like I said, as you're listening to this or you're watching us on YouTube, of course, on YouTube, make sure to like and subscribe, but we are going to be probably traveling down for our huge weekend. Group of 8, we're going down in a Ryder Cup fashion down to Myrtle Beach, South Carolina. I know for us, it's about 7 and change?
About 7 and change.
Of a car ride, unless you're...
Depending on how fast you drive.
And unless you're some of our guys who are going to go ahead and fly down, but that's more on them. We're definitely driving
goals, down. Goals is 5-year plan. We somehow get a private jet. We go big time.
Well, we got a lot of work.
As long as we trust the pilot.
We trust the pilot.
I don't know. I'm looking at, like, you know, everywhere I see on the news, there's like a new plane crash or something like that. So I'm kind of nervous to fly now.
Yeah. So we are leaving there here in about a week's time. We're going to try to get down there on a Wednesday night.
Oh, we'll be down there this time next week.
We'll be down there this time next week. We will be trying to play a warm-up round. Kind of on the Thursday.
Which I will need.
Just to lock in what we're going to do. And then all of us are meeting up Thursday night for kind of our, I don't know, quote unquote, opening dinner. We're trying to get together and we're going to just make sure everybody meets and greets everybody.
Next year it'll be called the Champions Dinner.
Champions Dinner. Last week we tried to get together. Most of us were there, but we're all going to get down there at Pop Stroke, Tiger Woods Golf Course Facility, Miniature Golf Facility. Have some nice dinner, drinks, probably some gamble a little bit on the golf course, play a lot of golf, get ourselves up on the leaderboard. If you've ever been to Pop Stroke, it's a good time. And then the fun starts. And it's a lot. It's a lot of golf over the next 3 days. 36 holes. We are starting off at the Myrtlewood Country Club, where we are playing, let's see, I had it written down here.
Palmetto.
We're playing the Palmetto in the morning. And then turning around, what'd you say it was?
Pine Hills.
Pine Hills in the afternoon, which is going to be a lot of fun. One of our goals was to make sure that we were a little bit closer than we've ever been on per days. We don't need to get into a car and drive when there's plenty of golf courses that have 36, if not 54 holes on site, or close enough to where you don't even have to really travel that far. Saturday, we're getting it back together. This is going to be the tough day. I think this will be the grind. People will start feeling their bodies a little bit by the time the day goes. We're going to do 36 in the morning at Man O' War. And then we'll turn around and play 18 holes at the Wizard for our PM round. And that is where we need to make sure we have enough golf balls to get through our rounds. And then Sunday is our big singles event where we are going to kind of drive on our way out and play Wild Wing Abbasset. Which is kind of as we are headed out of town that day. But real quickly, I kind of wanted to talk a little bit about our formats that we've decided. And the reason we're sharing all this is because we want your feedback. You know, put it in the comments, especially if you're watching YouTube. checking us out, checking my camera that keeps going in and out, which I don't really know why. I honestly think it's my hat that I have on that is it's having a hard
time trying to focus on it.
It picks up my bill and then it will pick up my eyes when I raise my hat up a little bit. But I wanted to talk to show you that what we're doing, what kind of formats we're doing. Like I said, this is a Ryder Cup event. It's really only teams of four this year. We're looking to expand it to teams of eight next year. We've already have a lot of interest, but a teams of four. And our first round is a four ball where we're playing. We're each playing our own ball, taking the low score between the two of us, which is, I think, is going to be a lot of fun. It's a good way to start out the day because as we get tired. In our second round, we have the shamble. We are not good enough to go alternating shot like they do in the actual Ryder Cup. So we're going the shamble where we both drive off the tee, take the best ball, play our own ball in from there. And the difference for our scoring on the shamble is that we are going to count both scores. So although we are getting tired in that afternoon, and some of us who have not played that much golf,
you still need to finish.
You still need to be able to put in. Now, we do have some rules we'll go over in a minute to make sure this is a nice, fun event for everybody, for any level golfer. We definitely have made it fun, competitive, and hopefully it's going to be a good time. So that is our shamble in the afternoon. Turning around as we head to our third round of the weekend, we are going back to our four ball, our fairway fit four ball. Again, playing our own ball, lowest ball goes. And then we have a fun round. And why don't you tell us about the fun round? Explain a little bit about our 666.
Well, 666, obviously, you know, you got six holes to play, three different formats. So obviously you gotta know when the formats change. The afternoon round, there's going to be some people that are lackadaisical and maybe not realize that the format changed.
Lackadaisical, intoxicated. I mean, it's all the same.
It's, you know, tomato, tomato. But basically the first six holes are, situated at straight scramble.
No.
Scramble is last six holes.
Yes.
My bad.
It's a shamble to start.
Shamble is the start. Yeah. Shamble is the start. Obviously, we go back to the shamble of, you know, both players tee off. You take the best drive, play your ball in. The second six holes would be a shamble alternating shot. So you would, once again, both players tee off. You would take the best position starting point, and then you would play alternate shot of whose ball you took. So if me and Brad happen to be on the same team and we were playing together, obviously more than likely we would both hit beautiful drives right down the middle of the fairway. I would try and play a draw. He would play a nice little cut. We would decide who was better. Brad would probably be further, which means that we would take his ball and then I would play the next shot. I would probably leave it short of the green. Brad would have to then break out his 30 yard and in shot and put us on the green for me to go ahead and sink a 2 foot putt in order to basically have our score. The last and final six holes of the round will be a straight scramble where basically each player will tee off each play. You'll decide which ball you want to play. And then both of you would have a shot from there and you would play the ball all the way in.
Yeah, we chose this on this round and or this format on this round for a couple of different reasons. When we set this up, the gentleman that helped me pick courses out, different things, said this is a very, very fun course for games like this. And honestly, we all are, even no matter how much we've been working out different things, we all are going to be exhausted. We all are going to need a little bit of help. So it's trying to take some pressure off some people, but still have fun at the same time. And then finishing up on Sunday is our singles match that we're going to do. And what we're going to do, we're going to go ahead and announce our matchups. All right. Our players at right now don't even quite know these. We did have some last second adjustments from our captains.
A little bit.
From one of our captains, I should say. But he brought a very good suggestion. You know, like you said, with only four people, sometimes it's kind of hard to make our teams just so we're playing different people all the time. But I think they did a very good job with it, and hopefully that we get better as the years go. But on our first format, let's just name our teams right off the bat. So Team Billy. Billy is actually the owner of the condo we're going down to stay with, so he's a huge part of this. Helped us get started a couple years ago when we started doing this trip. But Team Billy is myself, our buddy Anthony, who you have heard us talk about many, many times. And then Nick, who is a former colleague of mine and Anthony's, but still is a colleague of Greg's, that rounds out Team Billy. Then we have Team Ernie. Ernie is another one of our former colleagues, still a colleague of Greg's, but a good friend of ours. Greg is on Team Ernie. Team Brian is a buddy of mine at the golf course right next door. And then, just Brian. And then Tim is a colleague of mine that I coach some baseball with. It rounds out Team Ernie. And it's pretty exciting. Wide variety of players. Actually, there's quite a few that are pretty similar, but then you do have the front end where probably Brian leads the pack as far as the most quality player we got out there. And then a couple guys that kind of maybe struggle a little bit getting that ball in the hole. But on our Friday matchups,
they're vibes, I'll do the guys.
Vibes, guys. I'll do the AM matchups. Greg, you want to go ahead and announce the PM matchups? Or actually, do you have them or with the last second changes? Do you want me to just go through them all? Because I wrote them down name by name.
Oh, yeah. I have the original.
Yeah. So Billy came up with some great ideas today. So he made some changes. But our first format, Ernie and Brian are teeing it up against me and Billy in the four ball scenario. And then following us, Greg and Tim are teeing it up against Anthony and Nick.
I'm going to have to outdress Anthony somehow.
That's going to be tough. It's going to be tough. He's been laying his workout, his outfits out for like a week already. He told me.
I mean, he said he's like too deep on every single outfit choice.
I know. What's interesting is that when you look at the matchups, that, I mean, with the amount of what we call hammers, and we'll get to hammers in a moment here, that each player is getting, they're pretty competitive.
Yeah. I mean, I can see them coming down to the point where they're competitive. I don't see anybody like walking off on 15 and or 14 and being like, we're done.
And again, nobody has played a lot of golf. Yeah. So it's kind of where it's going to fall. That's how you're going to play for the next 3 days. So, and then in the afternoon matches, we got some good switches up. Ernie and Tim are going to take on myself and Anthony. And then Brian and Greg are going to take on Nick and Billy. All right. Again, that is the shamble. So who knows? If you got somebody just killing it off the tee, I think you guys got a good chance. Got to count both scores, which may make it tough for a couple of our higher handicap guys. But
my goal is to just use my ball off the tee once with Brian.
You will. You can outdrive him. Saturday's morning format, returning to our four ball. We got Billy and Anthony versus Brian and Tim going off early. And then myself, Nick, versus Ernie and Greg. I think, Greg, is that the first time we match up?
Yeah, that is the first time we match up.
That is the first time we match up. That's going to be fun. It'll be a good time. The 6-6-6 format and the singles format are yet to be determined. We are going to kind of go through a draw situation either at lunch or dinner the night before to give them the feeling of who's been playing well and who's been maybe needs a little assistance when they come through it. But let's talk hammers. Let's talk hammers. Now, we could just do handicaps. We could just, you know, play, give pops as we're doing match play throughout. But we came up with something called hammers. Obviously, you know, we got the idea from the TV show where they are playing golf, where they're hitting into a giant simulator, which has been a lot of fun to watch. But we have different hammers. So every player was determined or is given a determining number of hammers by the captains and Greg and myself. And this is what a hammer is. And we're just going to give Greg as the example. So Greg, per round, has 8 hammers.
Love it.
That he could use. Hammers can only be used per hole, once per hole. Cannot use 2 a hole. Cannot save them. Use them all in the last hole. All right. And then we have different types of hammers. We have one that's a stroke. All right. Obviously, it is just like a handicap where you'd be given a stroke in that hole. But the difference is it has to be determined before all four players tee off. All right. So you can't just go.
You have to announce to the group.
Have to announce to the group. Can't just have a par and say, oh, I was stroking on that hole. It doesn't work that way. All right. You can go to the most forward tee, which I do think is going to be the interesting one, especially in the 666, because you're going to get guys in the alternating shamble where you have to tee off from one spot or the other. That could really, really, really give yourself a huge advantage if somebody's hitting from the reds and somebody's hitting from the white tees. Again, it has to be called before all four players hit. It's a pretty common one in the formats that we've done before. They may not call them hammers, but in the stuff we've done before. And then, of course, there's a mulligan. A mulligan can be called, obviously, after the shot that is taken. If I hit one out of bounds and I want a mulligan, I can take a mulligan, but I have to play my mulligan. I can't choose what shot is best. None of those can be used on the green, of course. The mulligans cannot be used on the green. And then during the shamble formats, only mulligans and forward tees are allowed. Mm-hmm. All right. There is no strokes. All right. So there's a couple different rules. And then our favorite one that we have now, those are our hammers, but you can add yourself a mulligan by doing what we call a chulligan. And this was put in for our buddy Anthony. He kind of gave us the idea on this. Although we weren't thinking of it, he kind of solidified that was something we wanted to do. And if any time, obviously, you chug your beverage with the playing opponents.
A full beverage.
You know, you tell your playing opponents what you're doing, and you go ahead and chug from start to finish. You can earn yourself an extra mulligan. Again, not used on a tee. The big thing to remember on a chulligan is you can only use one per hole. So you can't use a hammer on a stroke and, oh my gosh, I'm about to take my triple bogey, which is the max score, and take a chulligan at the same time. So, you know, we're doing some things that are just a lot of fun. And we'll actually put this up on our website when we get it up and running. Some things you guys can check out about how we
format. You can check it out on Instagram already.
Check it out on Instagram. Yes, we do have the hammers up on Instagram and the rules as well too. But just the fun format. And, you know, if you guys have got ideas and things we can do, you know, please let us know in the comments. We're always looking to make it better. It's the first year we've kind of put this together. But I think it's going to be a lot of fun.
I think next year you're going to be at a zero hammers. Maybe a one.
I'm going to be at
a four. You're going to be at a one.
I think Greg is at, what did we say you were?
I'm at eight.
And I was given three hammers. So it's not quite handicapped, but it is kind of close to where we are. So I don't know. You know what? If I'm there and I'm playing that well, I will take that and run with it.
Are you going to leave hammers in your pocket, though?
No. Yeah. I will.
Yeah. No.
What if you
throw a wedge like from 31 feet to like 8 feet, are you going to take them? And you got a mulligan in your pocket. Are you going to take the mulligan?
On 18?
Yeah. Match on the line. You threw a dart that spun back just a little bit too much, and it's sitting at like 6-8
feet. So if it's a front pin, I'm just out of
you know, gimme range, which they're not going to give you anyways. It's 18 no. match on the line. Do you throw the hammer and say, I want a mulligan?
It depends on how I'm rolling the rock. I mean, let's be honest. That's going to be the deciding.
How many putters are you bringing again?
Just one. I'm back on my Odyssey putter. Not the two-ball putter.
Last week you said two.
I did. It's still here. It's still just leaning against the fireplace. Okay.
What if your brother gives you the other putter back? Are you gonna bring that?
That one I would take. So, but man, I can't wait. We do have some kind of fun rules. Like I said, we'll put some information up on our website. We'll try to get that up as we are down there. And I can't wait. I mean, just to get out of here. The weather looks great. Looks like we're high 60s, low 70s, all 4 days that we are down there. Going to have a good time at Pop Stroke. Going to have a good time. We'll go get a bite to eat. Get to see my dad. I know you get to see your mom. on the first days that we get down there. But I cannot wait. This is something that it actually has taken a little bit more time than I thought it would, but we got a great goodie pack for everybody. We got Yetis for them, custom towels. We have custom hoodies, custom coolers, custom bag tags. I mean, it is a value pack that they're getting a couple hundred dollars worth of stuff that they're going to be taking home with them. And for, you know, if anyone wants to sponsor the tournament and help us out,
that'd
we would
great.
Be glad to sit and listen to you as well too. But, got the trophy sitting behind me. I don't know if you noticed that.
I did. I noticed
got the trophy sitting behind me that we're going to, somebody's going to be drinking out of, after the singles matches. Hopefully it's my team. Hopefully team Billy and I are bringing it home. I definitely think team Billy might be a little bit more into this than Ernie is right now, but you know, we'll see. It could
competition
change
brings out people.
Playing. It definitely does. Definitely does. So, yeah, we can't wait. Like I said, by the time you're listening to this, we'll be down there enjoying ourselves, and then you'll have to check back in and we will give you an update of how things went. But before we sign off, Greg, I got a dramatic reading
from today.
From today.
Oh, boy. Because I do know that you were playing nine holes today.
So I went out to play nine today, and I have been working a little bit hard, not necessarily in a swing change, but just kind of on a path, kind of consistency, where I was been working on not hinging my hand and really working on having the wrist pushed forward on my takeaways and different things. So it kind of looks like I'm a little bit more upright than necessary. Maybe I have been where I got maybe to that baseball hitting position with the club wrapped around my head. So now I probably still getting there, but it's a feel thing. And like I said, I had a really good range day yesterday. It's helped me tremendously off the tee. And so I went out today. I played my combo tees where we between blues and golds on the front nine. Little wind into me. 300 yards right down the middle, got down the hill from the gold tees, down the little split of the tee box, or not the tee box, of the fairway on one, you know how it narrows, hit a wedge to about 8 feet, lipped it. So made par. On two, hit a beautiful drive again from the back tee. So it is a driver into the wind, fairway, hit it to about 7 feet. Pin was in the bowl, about 7 feet, I missed it. So I was a little frustrated there because, I mean, did we go one under going into go 5-3-5 on the next three holes? It's nice to have that one favor. So again, beautiful cuts right down my lines. This time I kind of hit it a little bit closer to the heel, so it was a little bit of a bigger cut, but split the fairway on three, had 146, hit my 9-iron to about 5 feet, little into the wind, cut wind, hit it 5 feet, made eagle.
Oh boy.
Yeah, so, you know, I've eagled the hole before, so it wasn't like that was the first time, but first eagle of the year, felt really good, and so I'm like, all right, I'm rolling a little bit, you know, no big deal. Tough par three, playing close to like 190, it was on the top back ridge, so I was just trying to hit the green. I did actually hit the green, but it kind of ran off to the left.
Ooh, I hate that.
Kinda, you know how it kind of funnels towards the next tee box? And so I had to hit a pitch into the bank and then kind of roll up. I hit it to about 6 inches. Now, if you remember, I told you the day before I hit probably 50 or 60 chips, felt mm-hmm. in a really good place. So there's up and down number one. All right. Number two, cleared the bunker on the left. I was actually in the rough, had a perfect little 6-iron that could have got me to the green, but I kind of duck hooked it a little bit, a little chunky and left. I was shielded by a tree, so I had to play to the back
out
of the green.
Out by the bathrooms?
A little bit closer to the bathrooms, but so I just chipped to the back of the green and two-putted. Pretty simple. I was looking to make birdie there. To go 3-5 would have been like, whoa, hold on here. Like, maybe I need to play 18 today type thing.
Honey, so 3-5. Be home later.
Yeah, yeah. So ended up just making par. Felt really good so far. Wasn't up a set at all. Number six, very tough hole. I think it was playing like 185, a little into the wind, and hit another kind of chunky pole 7-iron. It landed on the lip of the bunker and scooted towards the cart path. Couldn't find my ball. It was actually in the high straw. So I was a little upset with there. And I was like, all right, that's fine. I was like, I actually just stay left of the flag, 2-putt, take bogey, I'll be fine. Hit a really good ball, had about 25 feet, 2-putted, took bogey, went to the next hole. Wasn't upset at all. I mean, bad shot, didn't make a bad mistake to the next one. Hole number 7, right next to route 7, 5-iron wedge, 15 feet. Didn't really have a really makeable putt, left it a little short. Number 8, kind of scrambled a little bit again, kind of a little bit of a block, hybrid off the tee. And I had a good look, and I actually thought I hit it really well. I think I got kind of confused on the wind and left me in the bunker. All right, so perfect bunker line, not a really hard bunker shot, but it's a bunker shot, right? Haven't really worked on it. Hit it to about 3 feet, tapped it in. All right, so I got through the hard holes. You know, 9 is a tough tee shot, but not really a hard hole. So I'm thinking like, dude, this is awesome. I got a chance here. Didn't hit the best hybrid. I kind of blew it up into the wind. So, and it faded towards the bunker side. So instead of being a wedge or a 9-iron, now I'm 7-iron into the wind.
Oh boy.
Back pin in the middle. So it really wasn't a bad pin location, but I couldn't see the pin because it blew it back to where it was just shielded. Hit a decent 7-iron, but I left it short. I kind of, again, it wasn't jumping off the club with the irons, which is going to blow you away when I tell you the score. So I was a little short, had the chip, had probably about a 20-yard chip. Dude hit a chip to about 6 inches, so missed 4 greens, got up and down 3 or 4 times.
Dang.
Shot a 35.
Dang.
Yeah. So now, I mean,
now I want you to do that on the back, though.
Well, I have to keep it going. I will tell you, though. So
18's been your nemesis on that course.
It has been. 17 is not a hard hole, but
35 is a hell of a score, though. Especially today wasn't like, you know, calm. It was blustery a little bit.
Yeah, I mean, the wind wasn't bad. It ended up being a little swirly at times, kind of in some lower areas. But yeah, I mean, putted it fine. I did get lucky on 5. I had a pretty quick downhill putt. I hit it way too hard, but it was dead center and just popped up and trickled like 2 feet. So if I don't hit the hole, I did take the pin on every time. I was following one of the best players in the area for high school, and I did notice he took the pin out every time. So I did too. Why not? It works. Might as well do it. So I kind of got a little lucky there. And you know, I mean, you make the eagle putt, but I easily could have made birdie on 2, birdie on 3 to be in the same situation.
True.
Or heck, I could have made birdie on 1 that I missed the opportunity, but I took advantage of it. So ended up with 14 putts. I think I hit 70% of the fairways. It was pretty solid there. I think it was at 5 of 7. And then I hit 5 of 9 greens. And like I said, I got up and down 3 times. Had 14 putts. I mean,
it's pretty darn impressive.
I try to be under 32 putts, I think is a really solid, solid round for me. If I hit a lot of greens, that usually is a little higher just because if I'm hitting greens, I could be 30, 40 feet away. Yeah. And I'm not going to one putt those. But I'm telling you, like I said, I chipped yesterday for about 30, 35, 40 minutes. And just from one spot, it was
love it. I love it when a plan comes together.
It came together. So we're on the board. I don't know what the handicap will come out to tomorrow. It was a
Do we need to take a hammer away?
No. It was a negative 2.6 was the index.
That's a pretty damn good score.
Yeah, that was definitely my loss. So with my handicap, I was supposed to you gave me 3 shots on that side. And I shot 35. So felt pretty good. Now I'll probably blow up next time I play. but like I said, just taking it one round at a time. And the nine hole stuff really makes a huge difference. And that's why you need to get out here. The cot's in the basement. I'll leave it up. And we make that work
soon.
So that's my dramatic reading for first one of 2025.
Not bad. Not bad. And a solid one at that.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I would obviously would have taken even.
My dramatic reading would be like, hey, I was only six over.
No. Through six.
Yeah, exactly. Through six. I was playing bogey golf. It was wild.
Well, next time everyone hears from us, like I said, check us out on YouTube. Check us out on Instagram, Twitter, TikTok. We're on all those. Spotify. If you want to listen to us in your car or if you want to check us out on YouTube. Like, subscribe. And man, next time you hear from us, we will have somebody drinking out of the trophy right here behind us.
Yes, sir.
All right. Talk to everybody later. Peace.